The title of today's message, What Are You Speaking? I kind of thought about the little slogan on TV, What's in Your Wallet? But what are you speaking? Second Corinthians chapter 4. You can turn there. I want you to, if you have a little static, you know how you have a little static in your radio? And on those little dials, you make sure you fine-tune that thing. I need you to fine-tune to what thus saith the Lord. Amen? I don't want you to miss this. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Did y'all hear that? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What is he saying there? When something is coming against you outwardly, that's when you begin to manifest and shine Jesus from the inside out. From the inside out. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. The things that are hurting you are always helping somebody else, in essence, is what he's saying. Did y'all get that? The things that are hurting you is blessing somebody else. It's helping somebody else. You wouldn't quite put it that way, would you? But God has his way of doing things. Verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith to what is written, I believe, and therefore I speak. We also believe, and we therefore speak. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. What do you mean we do not lose heart? When you're going through hell, you know how to say the right things. You can say the wrong things when you're going through. That's why you have to watch your mouth. Amen, somebody. If you ever start talking what you're actually going through, what you're going through will last forever. Or it seems like forever. If you keep talking about what you're going through, what's the purpose in it? There are seasons that God wanted you to go through that he already wants you to have exit that. But your mouth is holding you captive in that season because you keep talking where you are instead of the language of the next. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They kept complaining and bickering. Listen, fellas, y'all, we going to the promised land. And y'all out here bickering and arguing and cutting each other's throats. What's up? I want to read this in the Passion Bible. Do you mind? We are like common clay jars. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the Passion Bible. We are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power be seen as God's, not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the resurrection life, resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. We consider living to mean that we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. So then death is at work in us, but it releases life in you. We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also must believe, then speak in faith. Can you say amen? So let's go back to 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. It's a big difference there. Let's go back to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So, when you get born again, Jesus come and live on the inside of you, okay? So this house, your body, that's not the real you. It's just that clay pot it was talking about, that the real you live inside. And so when you die as a Christian, the real you go to be with Jesus. And this house goes back to dust and ashes. That's why at the funeral they say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Amen. Get it? So this is just an earthen vessel. Oh, it's going to get good here in just a minute. So people get hung up. Y'all seen the healing evangelist, miracle evangelist? And people get hung up on the white suits and what they look like, what kind of house they got. And so you get hung up on the external and can't look on the treasure on the internal. Okay? You get hung up on the white suits, but you don't look at the stack of wheelchairs over there. But so, because you get hung up on what's on the outside, you can't get up out the wheelchair. I mean, you get those kind of folks praying 10, 12 hours a day. He takes stuff that's not so good, say my body, me, and put great stuff in it. Hallelujah, Jesus. So he'll make me love the part that's not so great so that I can extract the thing that is great. You know, that's the way marriages work. Friendships work, any kind of relationship works. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's all about God. Amen, somebody. The Bible says that not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's like Samuel, the prophet Samuel. I want you to go and anoint the next king. Saul had lost it. So he went to Jesse's house. The prophet Samuel did. And he looked at Eliab and Abinadab. Eliab had those big shoulders, tall, and God had to rebuke him. Samuel, king's prophetic eye, missed it. He looking at the outside, and God had to rebuke him. So we ain't looking at the same thing. You looking at the outward appearance, I'm looking at the inward. And so Samuel went through all the, I think it was seven sons. He said, you got any more? He said, there's one out there, a smaller one. He out there tending sheep. Bring him to me. Here he comes. Now watch this. Y'all ever heard of the spirit of rejection? The one that he was looking for wasn't even invited into the house. Little ruddy David. So he bring him in. I think he was 12 years old. Samuel took that oil and poured it on David's head, and it went all down his body. What happened? He got anointed. That ain't all. He got anointed, and he went back to attending sheep. God doesn't anoint the lazy. He anointed David. David was out there working. Amen. But after, watch this now. This is for somebody on your job. You struggling. David got anointed for something great and went right back to attending sheep. Somebody say patience. I want it now. You ain't ready. Some of the stars we see in the entertainment business, they got too big too fast. Couldn't handle it. And it destroyed them. Let me say it like this. It is destroying them still. Some of them right now, it's destroying them. The Bible says prosperity ruineth the fool. Amen, somebody. So, I got a question. Can you qualify for greatness by doing something small? Look at David's life. Not many mighty, not many noble call. Why? Because there's so much of a problem with them. When God uses them, they think it's them. It ain't them, it's God. And that's the problem. Full of pride. Puffed up. I heard somebody talking yesterday. Said they need their bubble busted. Y'all remember that song? Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? Do-do-do-do. Yeah, some of y'all done heard that. Now watch it now. Let that bygone be bygone. So God would get out or go out and get people you say, surely not him. You mean you're going to use him? He's been locked up at least six times. And her, you know what kind of lifestyle she's been living? And then God will take something great and put it in him. And you will say, oh, I know, I know that. I know they said that about me. Y'all laughing, but I am serious. A guy came in the doors back there several years ago and saw me up here preaching. And I used to run the street with him. He said, man, you ain't the same. I said, you're right. Guess what? He got saved by watching my life. He said, you for real? You're right. He tested me. Man, let's go. I ain't going, buddy. You can call me henpecked and whatever you want to. I'm with this woman forever. I wonder why you ain't got one. I didn't say it to him like that, but he got the message, though. Why is all this so? That because the excellence of the power be of God and not of man. God gets the glory, not man. So if you're here today and you've been through hell and high water and you feel like you are disqualified, then you are a candidate for God to put something great in you. So you can shine and he gets the glory. Amen. So in essence, what God wants to do, he wants to use the common to do something uncommon. Amen, somebody. The word excellence, you keep hearing me say excellence? Well, the root word for that is excel. It means to throw beyond. And so when you see somebody going beyond themselves and getting things done, you know it ain't them. You know better. It has to be God. Amen. So they won't look at you. They'll look at God. And you know, I don't mind people making statements. That couldn't have been Joe. That had to be God. I don't mind you mocking me with that. Go ahead. Just go ahead and put that out about me. It had to be God. You need to say the same thing. Uh-oh. I said, you need to say the same thing. It had to be God. Let's go back to verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith to what is written. That's the key verse right there. And since we have the same spirit of faith that to what is written, I believe and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. God has put something great behind something that's not so great. Can you see that? You can't see it? Look at you. Are you all that because of you or are you all that because of God? Say it, because of, okay. Now, I know we all have been there. The thing outside me is pressing me. You know, when you go through stuff, yeah. It's pressing me. Everywhere. I've got difficulty on every turn, despair. I'm perplexed. I got problems everywhere. I'm surrounded by impossibilities, and I'm uncomfortable. I'm in uncomfortable situations. But, say but. I have the spirit of faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1. Now. Say now. Not tomorrow. Now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Romans 4, 17. And faith called those things that be not as though they were. Faith. I believe, therefore I speak. Call those things that be not as though they were. In other words, as though they had already manifest. That's a faith statement. So I got all this stuff going on around me. But I don't speak it. Did y'all hear that? I got all this stuff going around me, but I don't speak it. You ever heard the scripture, take no thought saying? You get the thought, but don't you let it come out of your mouth, because you do, you're about to burst something that you don't want to see. But I don't speak it. I speak what I believe. If you keep your mouth speaking in that direction, Life and death is in the power of the Proverbs 18:21. Why is things falling apart on my job? I'm speaking death to it. Why is my family falling apart? I'm speaking death to it. Speak life to it. So if you speak life to it and your mouth lines up with it and going in that direction, in time your life will move in the same direction that what you're saying. Amen, somebody. So by your speaking, you can kill a thing. You can kill a thing with your mouth. You can stop a thing with your mouth. You can start a thing with your mouth. You can make something live with your mouth. I'm not going to give things around me the power to live, and I'm not going to speak what I'm going through. I know I'm going through it, but I'm not going to speak it. I'm not going to speak how I feel. Matter of fact, don't even make decisions based on how you feel. Because feelings come from your soul, and your soul's not saved. Spirit man comes alive in a God when you get born again. I'm not going to speak my difficulty. I'm not going to complain about my circumstances. I believe, and therefore I. And you know, some people don't know what to speak because they don't know what they believe. You can't speak unless you believe something. Mm-hmm. Is that good? Even though, I'm going to speak what I believe, even though I'm going or I'm experiencing something at the time that's totally contrary. Did you see that? Even though I'm going through, I'm not going to speak it. I'm going to speak what I believe. I'm going to speak the word of God. I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were, as if they already manifest. Remember, my light and momentary afflictions are working for me an external weight of glory. In other words, the stuff that's happening around me, they don't understand that it's creating in me a superhero. Instead of me walking with my head down, feeling down and out, I hold my head up high. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He remembered what God enabled him to do with the bear and the lion and all those folks who came against him and stole his wife and his kids, so much so that they wanted to stone him. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. But when you start speaking things of what you're going through versus what God said about it, you're about to be in trouble. You're in trouble. We got to learn to say what God says in spite of the external circumstances. Now, let's go back to what I said earlier. There are some things that God meant us to exit after 2 weeks, and 10 years later, we're still in it because we can't control this. Hallelujah. Now, listen closely to this. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Whatever you communicate lives. Whatever you communicate with, it lives. Whatever you quit communicating with dies. Because it's right here. The power is right here. According to Proverbs 18:21, it's right in your mouth. If you don't want to date somebody anymore, what's the first thing you do? You cut off communication. You ghost them. Because as long as you keep responding, in their minds, the relationship is still living. So watch this. Stop talking in your marriage. It's just a matter of time. You keep talking about your past, it will be in your present. I mean, that's true. Keep bringing up what they did to you, it stays right in the middle of your relationship. When did this happen? 1989. You better move on. Watch this. We don't understand that we perpetuate unpleasant seasons because we let it move from out of here to here. You perpetuate it with your mouth. And sometimes we'd be better off if we take a piece of that 100-mile-an-hour tape and just put it over our mouth all day. Just go around setting fires with our mouth. Amen, somebody. So, you know, what is it that's going on? We keep giving life to it because we keep talking to it. I've seen it before. My brother, bless his heart. My mama said something for me to do. You know, there's people in this world like to talk back. Now, you're already in trouble, but you're going to keep running your mouth. Bap! Glue, glue. What happened? And you know, and I said that in that situation, but you know, that's what happened to us in life. Stuff keeps slapping us upside the head, and you go ahead and make the list. You know what I'm talking about. We have to get to what's pressing us. Don't get our tongue. Did you get that? Whatever it is that's pressing you and causing you trouble, make sure it don't get your tongue, and you keep talking about that. You say what this says about it. Let's say that you're feeling vulnerable and you're frightened. Anybody have been like that? You felt vulnerable and frightened? Come on, let's see you. I'm gonna raise my hand. I done had a gun pointed at me before. I remember shaking when I got married. Now, that ain't funny. Realization hit me, the seriousness, watch this now, of what I was about to do. I made a commitment to him before I did to her. What you call that? Covenant. So this, you're feeling vulnerable and frightened. What's the worst thing you could do? Start talking about it. Here's what I do. You want to know? You want to know? That ain't good enough. Do you want to know? Okay, tell you what I do. This is what I say. He has given his angels charge over me to bear me up in their wings and guard me in all my ways so that I don't dash my foot against a stone. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, and I thank you, God. Your hedge of protection over my life. And Lord, I thank you. A thousand shall fall at my right side and at my right hand and do harm. No harm shall befall me. Am I talking about my situation? Am I talking about what he said? Come on now. No sickness had come nigh my dwelling place. No harm can come nigh my dwelling place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run to it, and they are safe. Even when the enemy comes against me, he raises up a standard. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, I condemn it in the name of Jesus. When do you say that kind of stuff? When do you say that kind of stuff? Watch this. When you're scared. When you're frightened. When you're vulnerable. You know the joy I get in that? The promise? He said, I hasten to my word to perform. And my word will not return void. It will accomplish what I sent it out to do. And I'm sending it out by. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Cancer, whatever the disease is, his name is above every name. And it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. What are you speaking? So the enemy came not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you come, when people come against you, you know what they're doing? They're trying to provoke you to say something that don't line up with this. And when you start running your mouth, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. I don't mean to be harsh or anything, but this is the truth. You got to change what you're saying. When I was on the job, I used to hear people talk about themselves. I just be, really? You gonna speak that over yourself? Y'all know what I'm saying? I was listening to Reggie Dabbs. And he said he was speaking at the school. And there was a young man in there, auditorium pretty much like this, fifth row, said it was security guards on both sides of him. He said, who is that young man right there? Teenager. He says, the worst student we ever had. There was a young lady, she was crippled, and she normally would put her crutches down and try to get her plate at lunch. And this day, she didn't use them. She put them down, and she failed and dropped all the food. Reggie, this young man had heard Reggie Dale speaking. Life. And the young man went and got one of each that little girl dropped. And brought it to us. Said, you're going to need this. You need to eat. And so Reggie went to the young man. He said, what happened to you? He said, I went to get her food. Told her the story. He said, what made you do that? He said, my mother told me I would be like my dad. Be in prison. And all the stuff that go with it. But when I heard you speak. Life, he said, I can do this. And it changed the young man's life. We need to watch what we speak to folks. And when you speaking to people out of your anger, are you speaking death or life? And you wonder why these kids are running wild. Are you praying for them? If you want to see it different, you better start speaking different about them and to them. Amen, somebody. I ask you again, title of the message, what are you speaking? Are you going to keep talking about what you're seeing, or are you going to call those things that be not as though they were? You stand to your feet. 12 disciples turned the world right side up. And you say, I'm just one person. I can't. All right, now. You can make a difference. Start with you. Start with your family. How many got a mirror at home that they use every morning? I'm afraid if you don't. Let me see. Who look in the mirror every morning? Can I say something to you? If all you see is what you see, you haven't seen all there is to be seen. So if you want to see something different, start speaking differently about yourself. Back to what I said earlier. Philippians 4 and 8. Think on these things. Whatsoever is pure, lovely, good report. Prophesy to yourself in the mirror. Say to yourself, I'm going to have a good day. Even though you know you got to face your boss that next day. Call those things that be not as though they were. Listen, I've been there. And when I got there, situation changed. Why? Because I spoke differently. You remember the scripture that I gave you early in Zechariah chapter 9, 11 and 12? The promise is that you'll get double. Y'all, we got a whole lot of reasons to praise our God. Don't wait till Sunday. Today is the day of salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians in attitude of prayer. Pastor Joe, I'm one of those that I want to have things in my life. I desire things. Brother, sister, Romans 14, 17 said, the kingdom of God is not about meat and drink. What are you talking about? It's talking about stuff. Big cars, big houses. If it ain't that, what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We think we want all those things, but it won't help us. We need righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus died that we may have that. Say this with me. I am the righteousness of God. See, when it's like that, you can have peace when you know that you're the righteousness of God, and then you can have joy. And so he died that you may have that. That we may have life and have it more abundantly. That's why he came. And he came to destroy the works of the devil, who's trying to keep you from that. And oftentimes what happened with our mouths, we end up teaming up with the devil to steal from us. How important it is that we change what we're saying. So if that's you and you want to change your life, you want righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, let me see your hand. You want to change in your life. You want change. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can take them down. Thank you. Yeah. That's why he died. In essence, what he's saying, you can be a winner too. Hallelujah, Jesus. Second call. Pastor Joe, I gave my life to Christ some time ago, but I strayed away. I got sucked in to the system because I was no longer reading my Bible. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't listening. I wasn't serious about God. But if you want to come back, you know he's, look, open up your eyes. He's still here. He never left. The master's calling. Whosoever will, let him come. He ain't going to force you. but he will invite you. Why? He wants to sup with you and spend time with you. Anytime you're in a relationship with someone, you want to spend time with them. I spend time with my wife because we're in a relationship. Get it? So if we say we're in relationship with Jesus and never spend time with him, how can you call that a relationship? And he desires that. Hallelujah, Jesus. So what we're going to do now, we're going to pray. We're going to all pray together. Amen? So if you will, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on Calvary's cross and paid for all of my sins. I'm grateful for that. I thank you. I no longer have to be in bondage to Satan. Satan, get out of my life. You're no longer invited. I've chosen Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. I thank you, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I praise you. My life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap. You know, I was sitting on the couch one day and I was thinking, watch this, go with me. Suppose you flying an airplane on a commercial airline and the rapture take place. Watch this. And the pilot or the co-pilot are saved. What's going to happen to them? Pew, they gone. What if you're not saved? People who are saved on the airplane, they'll be joined with Jesus in the middle of the air. What's going to happen to the rest of the folks? If you read your Bible, you know. In a bad fix. You know that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? I am joyful because I know I'm good. You ever been with somebody and there was trouble and they got him and not you because you knew you didn't do it? It's kind of feeling like that. I can lay down at night and know I'm okay. Who don't want that? That they can be peaceful. Driving down. Listen, my wife and I, a couple weeks ago, we was going to a funeral in Louisiana. We was going to leave that Thursday. And my wife said, let's go Friday. Guess why we were going to help a family? Not for us. And so we going down the road, almost crossing to the line where you cross into Louisiana, and my phone started just blowing up. Not literally blowing up, but you know what I mean. And it was the police on my doorbell camera trying to get us. I said, Robin, phone keep going. I'll see who it is. She said, it's the police at our door. There was a fire next door. The house was just burning. They sent us videos and pictures. I still ain't talked to her yet. And all she was saying, oh my God, Rosin, what's going on? Tell me, you know, I'm driving, but you know, I wasn't doing the speed limit. But I remembered, we prayed Psalms 91 before we left. We prayed the word and we pleaded the blood of Jesus over our property, our homes. Listen, if y'all would have saw that fire, I'll tell you, me telling you it does no justice. You should have saw it. So on the way back home, I tried to get home before dark so we can see. Didn't make it. It was dark. The next morning I got up early. I went out and looked. Oh my God. No smell of smoke. In the house or outside the house. Nobody had to move the vehicles. Our neighbor had the key to our house. They could have moved the vehicles. Didn't have to move them. Y'all listening? The side of the house where our two-car garage is, was a trash can, the fence that was closer to the fire, nothing. Nothing. The trash can, they didn't burn. They say it's the biggest fire they ever seen. But on the siding of my garage, I got siding on it. You can tell where the heat affected it just a little bit. My God. So my wife, we were going on the road. She said, you know, I know we prayed that we would only be spectators. I guess we didn't get it. I said, baby, didn't we just see the videos? He said, you will only be spectators. It will not come now your dwelling. He said, we watched the videos. Glory be to God. And so, not done. So the insurance adjuster came. He had to drive away. He got done. He said, you know, Mr. Brown, he said, it's only a little damage there, he said, but you know what? We just pay for the whole thing to be done. It gets better. We're going to write the check to you. It gets better. So I talked to the previous owner. He said, Joe, I said, come on by. Tell me what you think about this thing. He said, you remember, you look in your garage, I left all the replacement parts you need for that whole side. You ain't got to buy anything. Not done. Not done. Prior to this insurance adjuster telling me that, I said, brother, I said, is there anything I can pray for you about? He said, yeah. He said, we think our daughter's autistic. Guess what I prayed? Start tearing up. He said, I have never had a client to do that for me. He said, you ever need anything, you call me. Each one, reach one, teach one, repeat. Did y'all get that? So do what you can to help somebody. Watch this. Even if they don't like you, sorry, I went a little long, but wasn't it worth it? Well, praise the Lord. Those of you who prayed to be born again and your life to be changed, you got ministers down front. You can come down and talk with them, let them pray more with you. God bless you. Hope to see you Resurrection Sunday. And during the week, please invite someone. And let's have a hallelujah time on Sunday. God bless you.